Thank you very much, Brother Bill. And now, without further ado, Brother Bob Goodman.
Well, good evening, brethren. You know, normally if you're giving a talk, I'll bring love beforehand, and since I'm doing a Vesper, I'll bring love beforehand as well. Your brethren in Orlando voted on several occasions, a Sunday meeting, a Monday, and a Wednesday meeting, to send their love with us, and so it's our privilege to do so. You may see many smiling faces, which you know. I know the Portland brethren are looking at Sister Phyllis, Sister Joan Dundee, Sister Ina West, the Wessels, the Youngs, the Bleachers, many Yikes, some Goodmans, some Skyners, some Kwiatkowskis, some Kinsleys, and a few Thompsons, too. And who did I leave out? The Balkos, yes, but they're here. You know, before we get started, we wanted to not only bring our Christian love, but also express our thanks for this Seattle class, which is few in number, but great in spirit. And we appreciate their hospitality. We appreciate the fact that they put this convention together. By many standards, this is a large convention. And so we really appreciate all their efforts, and we realize this doesn't happen without a lot of work. And this is one of the ways that we convey our love to our brethren, is in doing these sacrifices one for another and having these types of arrangements. And it's been so good to have Cheryl, my wife, up here with me. She'll be my pianist. So you'll have an Orlando show this evening. It's good to see so many of you from near and far, friends from Canada and Portland and the East Coast and the Midwest and all over Hawaii. Aloha. Many of you we've met through email correspondence, or through telephone calls, or through tape orders and CD orders. So it's good to put so many faces together with the brethren. You know, our topic this evening is Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness. If this sounds familiar to you, it's also on the front of your program. And you know, last year I was supposed to serve at Seattle. I work for a large hospital. I'm on the disaster recovery team, and after the first hurricane, we were still okay. But after the second hurricane, Francis came and was threatening to visit us. I had to, at the last minute, cancel. So, you know, when you have that type of a situation, you're especially thankful when you do get here, especially in light of the things that happened in New Orleans, in that area. You know, it's interesting as I looked at this topic and this scripture that if you look at the heading over this section of the scriptures where this is found, it's entitled A Cure for Anxiety. And it kind of reminded me of Brother Richard's talk. Remember, he said this is one of the things that gives us peace. And God's really giving us a very wonderful formula here as to how we can have peace despite everything that's happening in the world, the things that are happening around us, the things that may be affecting us with finance, family, health, and all the other things that assault us on a daily basis. In Matthew 6:25, which is just a few verses prior to this, this opens this section. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on it. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? You know, at first this must have seemed to be a kind of a strange thing on the first reading, but we realize what our Lord was saying here was that there are much more important things, your eternal spiritual life, and don't worry about the things of the body. He continues, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So here's a line of reasoning. You know, if God takes care of all the little creatures throughout his creation, why are you concerned? The heavenly Father is personally interested in you and in me. And with that, there's really should be no concerns. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? You know, it kind of reminds me of the saying, don't worry, be happy. And really, isn't that kind of an underlying theme with Bible students? Despite many adverse circumstances, we should be happy because we realize our lives are in God's hand. And when it's our appointed time, it will be our appointed time, not a moment before or a moment after. And then he continues, and why take thought for your raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And you know, as we go out, and many of these pictures it's been my privilege to take, it's really true. You go to a mountain meadow and you see these beautiful flowers, and who was it that tilled this garden? Who was it that pulled the weeds? Well, you know, in nature there are no weeds. Everything's a natural plant, but God provided beyond anything that man could. And that was really the crux of what he was saying. And then in the 31st verse, therefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? The summary. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. You know, this afternoon when we had the testimony meeting, I was really impressed. And this was a theme that came through. The brethren were focused on the things of the Lord, and everything else was secondary. And so what he was saying was, this is what's important. One, this one thing I do. And then everything else will fall into place. You know, as we look at creation, as we have opportunities to see beautiful pictures from outer space, I didn't take this one. In many ways, I wish I had. But that's a high-risk activity, and one day it'll be our privilege, Lord willing. As we look at things, it kind of, you know, when you look from outer space, you realize how small and insignificant man seemingly is. And when we look at the vastness of the universe as revealed by Hubble Space Telescope and all the other things, we realize how infinitesimal we seem to be. And this kind of brought to mind a scripture in Psalms 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Showing that our loving Heavenly Father, what excellent, excellent work he has done. And you know, as I think about this, I think about a song, and it's a song we're going to ask you to sing. And you know, one of the nice things, this has been a very good convention for singing. So we're going to continue in that tradition in just a moment. And then continuing, the question comes up, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? For thou hast made him little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whosoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This reminded me of this song. And so if you will, join me in singing, and the words will be on the screen if you can read, and if not, it's hymn number 358. How great thou art. We're going to sing all the verses of all the songs.
Yeah.
You know, as we sang those very wonderful words, it's really an expression of exalting the greatness of God. And how humbling that must be to each of us when we realize the greatness of the grand Creator in comparison to our own smallness. And as such, our highest motive should be along the lines of 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. This reminded me of yet another song. Hymn number 4, My Goal is Christ. When we stay focused on that goal of Christ, it allows us to take each day one step at a time. You know, recently we've had an incredible disaster in the Delta area of the United States. And yet, we realize that the Lord is our protection in every time of trouble. There are many troubles in the world. We heard earlier a talk about how there may be great financial troubles on the horizon. And yet, we have a perspective, a heavenly perspective. And we are protected. And as such, we are thinking of Psalm 57:1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for thy soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. And of course, you'll know which song came to mind as I read these scriptures. Join with me in the singing of hymn number 361, Under His Wings. Indeed, we do safely abide in the protection, in the overruling of the Lord, provided we stay under His wings. Continuing in Psalm 57, I will cry unto the Lord, unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all these things. He shall send from heaven and save in the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are as spears and arrows, and their tongue sharp as a sword. Join me in the singing of hymn number 188, Nearer to Thee. As we stay near to God, it really is an assurance that our hearts are fixed on Him. And so we continue in the 57th Psalm. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they have fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Let's now join in the singing of hymn number 343, Sing the Wondrous Story.
Oh,
As we sang those words, I was reminded of what a privilege it is to sing out this wonderful tune, this good news about the kingdom of Christ. It's our privilege. It's our privilege to do this among all the people. Continuing in the 57th Psalm, awake up, my glory, awake, psalm tree and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. And so let us sing what will become an endless song, hymn number 179.
Yeah.
There is a joy that is in our hearts because we have the joyful tune, because we have seen the deep things of God, because we understand God's plans and purposes, and we can proclaim to the world that God has a plan and you are in it. This is an incredible responsibility, but it's also an incredible privilege, and it's done, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:15, for a purpose. For all these things are for your sakes, that the abundance of grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. That's an awesome scripture. These are for your sakes. The Apostle Paul here is talking to the church. All of these things are arranged for the footstep followers so that they might redound to the glory of God. Of course, you know what song I'm going to say next. To God be the glory. Hymn number 360.
Yeah.
the glory is to be to God. And this should be our highest motive, as our 2 Corinthians scripture said. Our highest motive to glorify God in our thoughts, words, and deeds. And now in closing, 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.